too sure how that's going to go, but we're going to try. So this is a class we're studying financial stewardship, and we started off with an introduction section. The first thing we said was, what is money? And we had multiple definitions of money, the simplest one being it is a tool. It's something that we can use. Then we talked about the uses of money, and we said that you can spend money, you can save money, and you can give money. It's only three things that you can do with it, okay? And then we wanted to talk about a perspective of money. The world in particular, and even a lot of Christians, don't have a proper perspective of money. Money's something that they want to accumulate as much as they can. They think that it brings them happiness. A lot of reasons. But in looking at the proper perspective, we said that everything that we have belongs to God. We're just stewards of it. Okay? Whether that's money, whether that's your house, children, okay, it doesn't matter what it is. We're stewards of what He's given us. And we looked at Luke 16:11, and we said that if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So if we can't handle our children, our house, our finances, if we don't handle those things godly in a proper way, then there's a problem in us being entrusted with true riches. Okay. Then we talked about a few common or bad financial advice or sayings, okay? Most of these we'd all heard. Make as much money as you can, as long as you make it, honestly or morally or whatever. Never pay off your mortgage. You need a tax write-off. And God wants or needs me to tithe because that's how He pays for church activities. Okay? None of those are true. And then we talked about some suggested reading. And we started into a financial plan. In the financial plan, we said we're going to start with a minimal emergency fund just so that when something happens, we don't lose focus of our overall plan. We need to be able to deal with an emergency without having everything else fall apart. Okay. Then we're going to pay off all of our debt except for the mortgage. We're going to deal with it and large student loans separately. But all of our common debt, so credit cards, auto loans, those kind of things, we're going to deal with using a method called the debt snowball. Once all those debts are paid off, we're going to begin our full emergency fund, which is 3 to 6 months of living expenses, okay? True living expenses. Then we'd begin to save for retirement. So we got 15% of our household incomes going to retirement. And then we can save for college funds for children. Every time I've seen this part, I've always seen it as children. This is also an opportunity where you can begin to save for a grandchild. Okay? It doesn't have to be a child. It can be a grandchild. And what a blessing. With the cost of education and all now, when somebody who's not fighting the day-to-day of trying to live day-to-day has the opportunity, it can be huge. Then we're going to pay off our mortgage, and then we're going to build wealth and give, okay? With give being the target of that. Did we start on budget last time? I marked down, so, okay. We did not. So, okay, that was fairly quick. So here we go. Now that we have a financial plan, again, this isn't the only financial plan, okay? It's just one. So yours may not be exactly the same. The same is true for budget. It may not be exactly this, but this will give you the steps of how to build a budget for your household. And before we jump into that, I want to say something that some people have a problem with. But when you're married, your finances aren't his and hers, okay? It's ours. So, doesn't matter. Uh-oh. We're starting early, aren't we? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who makes the money. It doesn't matter who makes the most. When that money comes into the house, it's an our money, okay? All right. So, let's jump into a budget. So, the first thing in a budget we've got to deal with is the income. What's coming in, okay? Then we're going to deal with spending. Where are we going to spend our money? What are we going to spend it on? Then we can talk about saving, okay? Whether this is retirement, college funds, emergency funds, can be a lot of things, but we'll talk about saving. Then we'll talk about giving. And then last, we're going to talk about something called mad money, okay? So let's jump into income. So when you have money coming into your house, you want to account for every dollar that you are given to be steward over. Okay? Every dollar is going to get a name. So you're going to name every dollar that you get, and you're going to name it by what it's going to do for you. So if you get a piece of money that comes in, you can say, oh, I just named this power bill. It's going to pay my electric utility bill. Or I'm naming this one water bill. Okay? I'm going to name this one food. We'll get to the more important stuff. Sorry, but Baskin-Robbins isn't a label on this, okay? But you do account for every dollar that comes in, and you assign it a function, okay? This is what it's going to do for me. Luke 16:1-2, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Okay? We're going to give an account for everything we do, and part of that is how we handle our money. We will give an account to God for that. Okay? So the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at spending. Okay? This spending is very specific. These are priorities. These are things that are required, things, necessities, things we have to have. And we're going to list those, okay? We're going to list them in order of importance. But the very first debit that you should write down in your budget is tithing. The tenth goes to God. It's the first thing we do with what we receive from Him. And tithing should be on gross income, not net. Okay? Deuteronomy 14:22 says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. When I was looking at the role of money and the discussion of money in the Bible, one of the things I did was I said, I want to go back and look at what God had told His people in the beginning. And we're going to get to that in just a minute, but the command has been consistent through time. So we're going to list our spending items in order of importance. Start at the top, okay? We have to have food. We got to have some kind of shelter. We're going to have clothing. There's a long list. This isn't four or five items, okay? There's a lot of items that are going to get put down, but they have to be put down in the order of importance. What's required for you to live, for you to survive, and then go. So we list out everything that we're going to spend money on, okay? And spending is going to end when the available money is gone. Okay? So we have things that we need to pay for, and we have a certain amount of income we had. And as we start to list those, once that income is used, we're done. There's no more spending. If our object is to get out of debt, we can't use debt to get out of debt. Okay? So spending ends when the available money is gone. Do not use debt. Then we've got saving. So we had income. We've listed our spending. Okay? If we got to the end of our spending and not all the money was gone, then we begin saving. Okay? So saving begins when spending is complete, but there's money left over in from our income. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." We are responsible for providing for ourselves, for our spouse, for our children, our families. We have to make provisions for them. So once we have saving in place, we're going to look at giving. Okay? Now this giving is giving above the tithe. Remember, when we started this budget, the very first thing we put down was tithe, right? That was first. So tithe is done. It's paid. It's taken care of. Now we're going to start looking at giving. So giving above the tithe would begin when savings has reached the fully funded emergency fund. Okay? We're going to talk about that. But that's at the point that we've paid off our debt, except for mortgage or a large student loan, and we have our emergency fund so that some little hiccup, a broken down car, a broken washing machine, a fire in the dryer, doesn't stop your financial plan. Sad part is I'd forgotten about that until she said it last week. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay? God wants us to give. He wants us to be a giver. Okay, after giving, the next thing we're going to talk about is mad money. Anybody know what mad money is? Do what? So, mad money is mom and dad money, okay? Alright, and it is exactly that. So stick with me on this for just a minute. So once you have a working budget, and it's established, all your debt except for the mortgage or a large student loan is paid, then mom and dad can, if they agree, okay, it's our money so we have to agree on this, but they can receive an allowance. Okay? It can be a weekly thing, it can be a monthly thing, however y'all want to work it out, okay? But you can. And what this does is it allows each person a certain amount of freedom in buying things or spending money the way they want, okay? And in doing that, you are not accountable to your spouse for how you spend that money. Okay? So, if Baskin Robbins is your thing, I knew somebody was going to do this. Stick with me just a minute, brother. If your thing is Baskin Robbins, okay, this is what that's for. And look, I'm not going to tell you how much it should be. I'm not going to tell you how frequently. But you have to decide that based on your budget, okay? But there should be some amount of money. And then if you want to go to Baskin Robbins and eat ice cream, go to Baskin Robbins and eat ice cream. It's what it's for, okay? You are not responsible to your spouse for how this money is spent. But you are responsible to God. It doesn't matter what money it is. You're responsible to Him and how it's spent. Okay? So, I'm going to give an example of this and hope my wife don't completely kill me. She knows about it. So, we typically used her vehicle to go to church on Sundays. Okay? And every time I would get in the vehicle, there'd be a Captain D's tea glass sitting there. Please understand, this was 15, 20 years ago. Okay, it's been a while. It was probably 75 cents or a dollar. It drove me crazy. You want to talk about somebody being fighting mad? I was there. It killed me that you're going to go spend a dollar on a glass of tea when for 10 cents or 5 cents you could have carried a glass with you. Okay? It really bugged me. I hope none of y'all are there, but I suspect some of you are. And so here's what, yeah, okay, it doesn't matter where it comes from, right? But here's what this, you know, so you can throw Baskin Robbins in there and, what's that, Starbucks. Okay, so here's the other one. Here's the thing. Once we went to an allowance and we said, here, this is your money, this is my money, do whatever you want to with it. Doesn't matter. It didn't bother me anymore. I didn't care that there was a sack from McDonald's there. There was a glass of tea from Captain D's. It didn't bother me because it was her money. It was given to her to spend however she wanted. And if that's what she chose to do, it's what she chose to do. Okay? But what it did for me was it made it okay for her to go do that. Because up until that point, I wasn't okay with it. And I'm not saying that's right. It bugged me that we had a plan, and I'm trying to go down the path of the plan, but every time I get in the car, there's a dollar, there's $2, there's $3. And I get that. It is a convenience thing. And I've seen some elbows up here and some comments back here. I get it. But when you do this and make that allowance, then you don't have the right to go question what it was spent on. So you can't be stressed over it. It was your money. Go spend it. Okay? So this is one that for me was big. And it was big in... honestly, in keeping peace, but also in being able to continue to set a financial goal and work toward it and know that something like that wasn't impacting it. Okay? So, you're not accountable to your spouse, but you are accountable to God. Okay. Any questions? Yes, sir. So, well, no, a lot of them, more than likely, have it sent to work. And I have seen that. And look, we laugh about this, but there's a lot more serious issue if that's going on. Okay? It's not a financial problem. There's a heart problem. So, yeah, before we go down that rabbit trail, any other questions, comments, anything?
He needed some money for today, all right? He's in Tuscaloosa, so
There's a lot of discussions. No, I do want to address this. There can be a lot of discussions on that, but I want to take it in a very specific direction, okay? One, you shouldn't be hiding things, okay? And that just is what it is. But sure, I mean, you shouldn't be hiding things from your spouse. But I want to look at something else in this, okay? Because some of us are older, and some of us are dealing with older parents, things like that. You know, I never gave much of that a thought. And then my dad walked up to me. He's 82 now, I think. He walked up to me. Y'all know what a little pocket notebook is? The little, yep, okay. So he brings me a piece of paper, and he hands it to me. But it's basically every account at every institution that he has, and roughly how much money's in each one, and where the Ziploc bag of cash is stored in his house. So, you know, people have different comfort levels. And some people want cash in their house to deal with things. We do, but we do it for another reason, and we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, but if you're going to do that, yes, your spouse does need to know. Because you're right. If something happened to him or her, somebody needs to know that that's there and be able to get it. Okay? Okay. Anything else without getting me too far off track? No? Okay. So I told y'all when we started this last week, and I'm going to have to look back, that for this class we had taken up submissions as to questions or what you want out of this class or whatever. 11 things were submitted, and of that, 55% of them were related directly to death. Okay? So I want to spend as much time as we need on this subject. If it takes this week and next week, I'm okay with it, okay? And so I am completely opening the floor up. If you've got a comment, a question, anything, raise your hand or something. I will get you, okay? All right, debt. Number one rule, if you're going to get out of debt, you must stop using debt. You cannot borrow your way out of debt, okay? So a lot of people do New Year's resolutions. Other people at other times of the year decide they want to make a change for whatever reason. I think most of these that we probably see are related to our physical selves and getting in shape, exercising, doing something. But it can be related to anything. One of them can be to read your Bible daily, spend more time in prayer. There's a lot of things that we make those decisions about. And the bulk of those decisions when we make them aren't just a decision of, I'm going to do this. It becomes a lifestyle change. It impacts every part of your life. So I went through some health issues about, 7-8 years ago, something like that. Doctor wanted me to go on a certain diet, do all this stuff. We tried it. It didn't work. Things got worse. So finally I said, you know what, I don't do anything. I sit in an office behind a desk and I do this for the bulk of my day, okay? It's not good for you. It's not good for me. So I was just declining. So I decided I'm going to do something about this. So I did, and I started exercising. But I didn't just start exercising. What did we eat 14 meals a week during that time? Chicken and rice, okay? I changed what I ate. I changed what I drank. I changed when I slept. I changed what I did. It was a whole lifestyle change that the family didn't sign up for and didn't want to go along on, okay? Chicken and rice, 14 meals a week gets old, okay? But for me, it did what I needed it to do, okay? And it eliminated a lot of problems. So, eliminating debt is just like that. Okay, it's exactly the same. It's not just a financial decision. You're going to make it probably based on finances. You're going to go, I'm sick and tired of this. But it's going to be a lifestyle decision. Okay? So back to picking on Baskin Robbins, you might not be going there 3 times a week. Okay? The end result that you want to see from this is that your money isn't controlling you, that you control your money. Okay? And that is, when that money comes in, we gave it a name, we said, this is what you're going to do for me. You stick to that, it's done, and you go on. And it'll eliminate a lot of stress. If you have stress associated with debt, or do I have to work overtime to make this payment this month, those kind of things, when you don't have that debt, it's a different feeling. Okay? There's at least a certain amount of peace. Now, that mortgage and that student loan can be the other part, but we're going to deal with those two. We're just going to deal with them separately because they're a little longer term, okay? But you want to control your money. You want to say, this is what my money is going to do. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. This is where I went back and I was curious as to, you know, Proverbs 4, we can find some verses that talk about money and how to deal with it and debt, borrowing. But I actually went backwards and went and looked. Deuteronomy 15:6 said, for the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. Only 13 chapters later, same book, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in season, and to bless all the work of their hand, of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. So, one of the things that got turned in on a card was about credit, and is credit good or bad? So, I want to address that, and I want to address it kind of from two viewpoints. But credit is the ability to borrow, okay? And we all have a credit score, whether we know it or not. And that credit score is used by lenders when they go to lend you money. Now, that is going away, okay? And that's not going to be used anymore. And there's going to be something that replaces it. It's called ESG. Environmental, social, and governance. Okay? I'm not going to go very far down that rabbit trail, but it's already being assigned to companies, and it's already being monitored. I suspect it won't be too long, and it's going to get pushed down to individuals. Okay? But for now, we're dealing with a credit score, right? FICO, Fair Isaac Credit Organization. Anybody in here know how that score works? Even partially? Okay. So, the whole score is based on how much money you have borrowed. So, if you want to borrow money, you need to already be in debt to borrow money. Does this sound good? I don't get it, and I know why, or at least I've heard a reason why they came up with the FICO score, and it was literally so somebody with the intelligence of a monkey could approve or disapprove a loan. Okay? You go, ooh, ooh, good. Ooh, ooh, bad. Okay? But here's the problem. Okay? Sorry. Some people have 6 digits sitting in the bank. Everything they own is paid for. They have their retirement built up. And they go, you know, I want to buy something, but I don't want to spend so much of what I got in the bank. So I want to take out a loan, okay, to make up the difference. And they go in, and their score is zero, or their score is 100 or 200. And it's so low, they go, no, we can't loan you money. But I did put the word some in front of that, right? Okay. So they have enough money to just go buy it, okay? But they can't get approved for a loan. So let's back up. Is credit good or bad? Neither. Okay? But if you have a good credit score, it's indicative of the fact you have debt. Okay? If you need debt, let's say for a mortgage, okay? You need to buy a home and you're going to have to borrow part of that money. There's some rules for that we'll get to, but if you want to do that, you do need a decent credit score, or you can't borrow money. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a juggling act, okay? And what this walks us into is, how can I have a good credit score and not have debt? I wish that it would have dawned on me what you do, because I would have gotten a lot more information from you up front. But part of the thing is we said that the FICO score is indicative of someone that has debt, but it's not completely. It is indicative of how much credit you have and how much of that you've used. Okay? So, a big no-no, credit cards, right? But a credit card paid off every month will improve your FICO score. Okay? I'm not standing up here recommending you go get a credit card. Okay? But I do think you need to understand, if you're in a position where you need to go take out a mortgage to get a place to live, you do need to understand this. The other thing I'm going to tell you is the FICO score isn't just used for getting loans. How many of you think that an insurance company would run your FICO credit score for you to get health insurance? How about car insurance? Homeowners insurance? Okay. So you need to understand those things, because there are some things you can do to impact that positively. There's also some things you can do that put yourself in a bind and impact it negatively. Okay? And borrowing more than about, isn't it 30% of your available credit, becomes a negative. So if you or someone has credit cards and they're maxed out, it's hurting your credit score, not helping it. Okay? So Romans says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Okay. Any questions on debt, credit, and where we're at so far? Yes.
So
I would have to look into that separate to answer that. Yes. The thing is, you know, we said back at the at the beginning of today's lesson that this is a lifestyle change, right? So one of the things in that lifestyle change is at some point, you don't worry about your credit score. People in here mostly know who Dave Ramsey is, financial speaker, okay? He claims, and I don't know this, but he claims his credit score is zero. Okay? My credit score right now is exceptional, but it is because the mortgage that I paid off November of 2011 is still counted on it. And I don't know how many years it stays, but when it comes off, I got no clue where mine's going to go. It won't be good, I know that. So, you know, the goal is that you put yourself into a position that you don't need that credit score, okay? The problem is, in reality, you do need it for some things outside of borrowing money. It impacts things like life insurance, health insurance, okay? It's not right, but it is what it is. It's the system that we have to deal with. And I don't know anything about gas cards, stuff like that. I've dealt with credit cards. I've dealt with debit cards. Debit cards won't help you at all. You know. So if you want a specific answer to that, let me look into it a little bit and see, because I don't know what they consider those. Okay. Paid off.
And that, I think, is what he has next to no credit rating at all. Because he just said, forget it, I'm not doing any of it. And I said, somebody's got to do it. So I took it over and I made sure everything was paid on time and whatever. All the credit is paid off. Now,
right.
You know? And
so. Alright, I'm gonna go there, even though I was questioning whether I should or not. But so, if y'all have listened to Dave Ramsey, if you've read his books, any of that kind of stuff, number one rule, no credit cards, right? Okay, I'm listening to him. I listened to him for on and off for about a 3-year period. If you've listened to him much, he turns into a broken record. I don't mean that disrespectfully, but he says the same thing over and over and over and over again, okay? But he's solving the same problem. There's a reason for that. But one guy calls in and he goes, look, I want to talk to you because I got a credit card and I want to know why that's such a bad thing. And he says, talk to me. He says, first of all, I'm a millionaire. Second of all, I got, you know, $100,000 in the bank. I have no debt. I do whatever I want to do. Financially, I don't have any problems. Dave Ashton says, you pay it off every month? He goes, yeah. He goes, and then I use the little bonus points from it. Me and my wife go out to dinner once every couple of months. He goes, congratulations, it ain't a problem. Okay, so I finally heard him, my ears heard him make the statement to that caller, it's not that credit cards are evil. That's not the issue. The issue becomes self-control, and when we can't control ourselves to not spend money that we don't already have. Doing what you're doing is not an issue. And I'll be straight up front. We have two credit cards. One of them is only used to buy from Amazon because I've had my identity stolen there 3 times. And the other one I've had, this is a credit card I've had since 1994. Okay? I don't carry a balance on it. We built a house partially on that card. I do not carry a balance on it. It will be paid off every month. And I'm not going to go buy something on it that I don't already have the money in the bank to pay for. It's, you know. I know, and that's where the problem, that's where the trap comes in of that credit card, okay? And I don't necessarily want to get in each person's business to tell them whether whether you should have one or not. You got to make that decision on your own, but you need to look at it honestly. If you don't have the self-control, the willpower to go, ooh, I want that Baskin-Robbins ice cream, but I don't have the money to pay for it. I could put it on this plastic and pay for it next month. Don't get it. But if you don't have the self-control to do that, don't get a credit card. They are a pit, okay? and they will just, they pull you in and they will hold you there. If you pay the minimum. That's right. I take it we're out of time. Okay, we did not make it far, so I'm going to push next week. We're going to try to get through debt completely, okay? So we're going to go through the debt snowball in detail, how to pay off everything except the mortgage and a large student loan, and then we're going to look at those, okay? Yes. Right. Yep. And I've had to do that 3 times, and every time it was wiped off and went away and gave me a new card and we went on. Well, he has spent enough time. He's a fan of the debit card, and for online purchases, for buying gasoline, so you can pay at the pump, he's all about a debit card. But he will come out and say point blank, he's not dealing with individuals in his program, in his radio show, that have self-control. Okay, if they did, they wouldn't be in the shape they're in. Because if you sit and listen to them, these people aren't, oh, I got, $3,000 in debt and a mortgage. Okay, no big deal. There's a way to knock that out. If you get focused, you can handle that. These people are calling in. They're at the point of filing for bankruptcy. They have nothing, okay? And so that's what he deals with. And for them, yeah, if you could handle a credit card, you wouldn't have got yourself into this position. So it's get rid of them, period. Okay. We ran over, sorry.